World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Hello, day six was when we had the first meetings between some of the giants of African football at this Cup of Nations. Four teams with 16 titles between them. Nigeria v Ivory Coast, Egypt against Ghana. Star power, some of the biggest names at this tournament. So Ghana and Egypt drew 2-2, Nigeria won 1-0. So much to talk about from those games, and you'll be having your say.
Wow, that's the best Super Eagles performance in about 2 years. Certainly the best under Pesero.
Meanwhile, in the match which wasn't expected to be the headline act, a veteran Equatorial Guinea striker scored the first AFCON hat-trick since 2008. And after his late arrival, how much pressure is on Cameroon's Andre Onana when he faces Senegal later? We will discuss all of that with the former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakuani. And Gabby, I am so smug right now. Yesterday on the show, you wrote Nigeria off. You were loving Ivory Coast. You were saying they were the best team. They were going to wipe the floor with Nigeria. I back Nigeria. You should listen to me more. You know that, don't you?
I think that's the first one you've got right in about 10 years. It is,
to be honest, my first correct prediction in a long time. Also with us, 2015 AFCON finalist with Ghana, Kwesi Appiah. And Gabby, you had a DR Congo shirt on for the last show. And Kwesi, you are in a beautiful Ghana shirt. So many colours on that shirt, yellow, green, reds. Is that a 2015 original from the tournament?
No, this is from this tournament. The care package arrived. It was supposed to be my lucky shirt. So yeah, it's looking fresh.
I should have known you would be up to date. So let's get right to it. That Ghana game, Ghana 2, Egypt 2. Ghana had lost their first game of the tournament to Cape Verde. They needed a response. Egypt had drawn their first game against Mozambique. They needed a response. Mohamed Kudus, Ghana's star man, back from injury, scored a great goal with a powerful low shot just before half-time. That came nearly straight after Egypt's star man, Mohamed Salah, had to walk off the field with an injury. Looked like a thigh problem. Second half, Egypt had a goal ruled out for offside. They started dominating. Then Omar Marmoush equalised. An awful back pass by Inaki Williams led to that. 102 seconds later, Kudus scored again for Ghana, deflected shot. But 3 minutes later, more awful Ghana defending. Trezeguet stole the ball from Bakari, edge of the box. He set up a Mustafa Mohamed, finished 2-2. So Kwesi, twice in the lead, twice pegged back. But Egypt, you have to say, dominated long spells. So is that a point gained or is that 2 points dropped?
It's a strange one, really, because going into the game off the back of the performance we had in the opening game, you would say that that's probably a positive result. But given the circumstances of us going ahead twice, it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster, to be honest with you, because, you know, at a moment I was sitting on the edge of my seat, excited, thinking this is it. This is a great performance. It'll be a solid win and a way to sort of get our campaign off to a great start. But yeah, I heard you guys saying yesterday that it was a must-win game. And when you draw in those circumstances as well, it did feel like maybe 2 points dropped rather than a point gained. And we're sitting at the bottom of the group, so it's a long way up from there. However, we've got a good game to finish against Mozambique and hopefully we can get a result in that one.
Are you confident, Kwesi? How do you feel? Are you confident amongst the fans? What's the feeling like now? Because it was, to be fair, a positive performance compared to the last game. But what's the feeling going into the final game?
Agreed. I think going into this game, when I saw Mohamed Kudus in the starting lineup, I thought to myself, yeah, we've got a chance. And that was honestly how it felt. And you could see the team themselves, they looked like they had a bit more belief. And it was one of those games where we started really well. And once we got ahead and Mohamed Salah's gone down injured and come off, you think, okay, we're thanking our lucky stars here, thinking this could be our day. But now we look towards the last game and it is definitely a must-win game. There's no way about that. So we're not overly confident because, you know, they got a good result against Egypt and we've also drawn with Egypt. So from that point of view, it's one of those games where we have to go out all guns blazing and get the result. There's no other way, two ways about it.
Gabby, how worrying is that Salah injury? It looked like a muscle problem. He walked off the pitch, but how difficult is it to recover from a muscle problem, a thigh problem?
I think the turnover is so quick in tournament football that it will be difficult to see him start the next game, I would say. You know, a muscle problem, really and truly, I think you don't know really until the first scan. But for him to come off and how patriotic he is for Egypt, you know, it must have meant he couldn't carry on. So that means to, that says to me that he's, it's a pretty bad one, bad enough for him to not be able to carry on. So for Egypt, that's a huge blow. You know, it's a huge blow. It's Mohamed Salah's tournament, there for the taking, that we've been talking throughout the tournament about him finally getting his hands on it. But now I think that's a huge blow. They've got bigger fish to fry now that he's sidelined.
Yeah, Salah's Egypt's world-class player. Mohamed Kudus, world-class, isn't he? He delivers in big games. He scores against big teams. And they needed a hero, and a hero stepped up. And we talked about it, actually, Kwezi, Gabby and I, on the last show. We wondered how quickly he could get up to speed. But straight away, Kwezi, he's back in there and putting in a performance like that. Wow, he is exceptional.
Well, you could see, you know, it was a little bit, you know, match fitness wasn't quite there. However, you see the quality he possesses. And in games like that where, you guys have said before, it was a must-win game, you need your big players to stand up and be counted and put on a performance like he did. And there's no way that you can say anything other than he was the star of the show today. And for a man that's came off of the treatment room and out of the treatment room to come in and put in a performance like that when he's not exactly match fit, credit to him. And I'm really, really happy to see him back on the pitch.
Are you too reliant on Kudus? Because he's come back and there was a buzz about him being in the squad and he's come in and scored two goals. What if he breaks down again? Is that an issue for Ghana?
It's a huge worry, you know. Even when I see him still on the pitch at 70 minutes, 75 minutes, I'm thinking, surely we've got to take him off and protect him here. You know, he's done enough for us. We, you know, it was one of them ones where I was a little bit nervous towards the end of the game. But we are reliant on him. And from the first game, you could see the big difference, you know, in having him on the pitch and the confidence amongst the group and the belief. So, yeah, unfortunately, that is the person we look to. And it's just the timing of him coming back from injury isn't ideal for us. But we'll make do with what we can, and hopefully he can push on and gain some more fitness in the next game.
The maths are tricky at this stage, but Ghana basically have to win their last group game. Egypt could maybe go through with a draw, but they'd want to be sure by getting a win. Mozambique facing Cap Verde on day 7. We'll talk about day 7 shortly, but let's move on to Nigeria's 1-0 win over the hosts, Ivory Coast. Centre-back William Troost-Ekong, wearing the captain's armband, smashed home the winner from the penalty spot on 55 minutes. Victor Osimhen had been fouled. There was a VAR check. Big response by Nigeria after they drew their opener. Ivory Coast, the first host nation to lose an AFCON group game in 18 fixtures going back to 2012. The former South Africa captain, Dean Furman, was commentating on the game for BBC World Service.
They were outstanding. A performance maybe that we've not become accustomed to from the Nigerians. A real tactical masterclass. They were set up in a 5-4-1 formation and it worked to a T. Back five, every single one of them put their hand up and said, there's no way you are getting through us today, Ivory Coast. And they were outstanding. On the break, they were a threat. There were some top performances. It really is a statement win. And I know the feeling of this statement win. Those players will get back into the dressing room and they'll look around and they'll say, we can do this. We can beat the top nations in this competition.
Gabby, as a defender, you must have loved that Nigeria defensive performance. There were some brilliant performers in that back three.
There were. And I think because I've been so critical of them in recent past, in the past, I've been so critical. And today they just defied the odds for me. Because Nigeria, we only speak about the attacks. We never speak about the back line. But today they were so organised. Everyone knew their jobs and there was just no way through. And it was a tactical masterclass down to a T. Just as Dean has just said there, it literally defied everything because I was expecting Ivory Coast to get a couple today, but there was just no way through it. It was brilliant to see.
Let's see what the Nigeria fans made of it. You're very positive, Gabby. Dean was very positive. Not all the Nigeria fans have been positive in their voice notes on our WhatsApp number, +44 800 032 0470.
My name is Naeem. I just wanted to say, wow, that's the best Super Eagles performance in about 2 years. Certainly the best under Pesero. I thought Aina, Ekong and Onyeka were absolutely unbelievable. But special mention has to go to Calvin Bassey. Absolute man mountain.
Hi, BBC team. I'm Adeyemi calling from London. Yeah, for Nigeria, we're glad that we got the 3 points. But far from that, we think our attacking force still needs to be sharper in the final third. We're not scoring enough goals based on the kind of attackers we have, so we should be winning games comfortably.
My name is Lauri Adebisi from Toronto in Canada. For a team like Nigeria, who has a hurry of attackers, winning by a penalty kick is actually an underperformance.
This is Anthony from Lagos, Nigeria. Congrats to them, but they will need to play more attacking football if they are to go very far in this competition. My man of the match would definitely be Calvin Bassey.
Yeah, he was sensational, Calvin Bassey. I agree. He was my man of the match as well. Thanks, guys. Get involved throughout the tournament. Send us your comments and questions. Kwezi, they're hard to please, fans, aren't they? You're just beating the host. Just beating the host, Ivory
it's
Coast.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible.
To be fair, Naeem had a lot of praise, but I've seen it on social media too. A lot of concern that the attack isn't clicking. And I will defend that point of view. They had a lot of chances to score goals from open play. A few chances wasted. Is that a concern going forward?
I would say so, but in the same breath, you know, they've still got players that haven't really had much game time. You know, the likes of Iheanacho is quite clinical. And Osimhen hasn't really found his flow yet. So I'm sure there will be moments in the tournament, if they were to progress, where those guys will really come to life and start lighting up the tournament. It's not a huge concern, I'll be honest, because you've got to remember the team they've just come up against and beat, they put in a magnificent defensive display. So sometimes you've got to rely on the defence to sort of get you across the line, and it's not always the attacking line that can go and score 2, 3, 4 goals. Sometimes you're going to miss chances, and thankfully they've got a clean sheet and the 1-0 was enough. So yeah, all praise to the defenders today.
Yeah, the character was superb. Brilliant that William Troost-Ekong scored the penalty. That is how, as a centre-back, that's how I imagine Gabby taking a penalty, just smacking it
down the middle. No, Gabby's out of the stadium, don't
Yeah, Gabby would go over the bar, to be fair.
Straight clearances.
I would safety first, I think I'd go.
quick fire answer in a word. Who's going to go further, Ivory Coast or Nigeria? Kwesi, you first. Who goes further? Gabby, who do you think?
I'll go back to my original. I think Ivory Coast still go further. Yeah, I do.
Here we
go. I'll recover from this.
In the first game of day six, a landmark moment, a first hat-trick for 16 years at an AFCON. The oldest player to score a hat-trick at an AFCON as well. Emilio Unsue scored 3 as Equatorial Guinea closed in on the knockout stages by beating Guinea-Bissau 4-2, 34 years of age. The excellent Algerian journalist Mahir Mazahi put it very well on social media. He's one of these players, Unsue, who rises to the occasion at AFCONs. You get some star players like Aubameyang or Jordan Ayew who sometimes struggle at AFCONs, but then you get some names you don't imagine will play well who do so well. It's extraordinary, isn't it, Gabby, in Sue? He always seems to rise to the occasion at AFCONs.
Yeah, I mean, he's an AFCON sort of player, you know. You have these traditional AFCON players. I remember there was a player, Bance,
Aristide Bance,
That was
Burkina Faso.
My favourite. Yeah, he was like an icon, but at club level, he's sort of a journeyman. But he was, when it came to AFCON, he always stood up and he did well again. Better than the stars that we're naming, you know. There's just some people that are more accustomed to the African way of playing, and he seems to be one of them players, you know, scoring a hat-trick at the AFCON, and a new record as well. Like, for a long time, it hasn't happened. So for me, it's a big honour for him, obviously, but I just think they've got to concentrate more on getting another victory or getting over the line. But that is a fantastic achievement for him.
Time is running out, but very quickly, I just want to focus on Senegal-Cameroon on day 7. Andre Onana expected to start in goal after his late arrival. Kwezi, just very quickly, would you be happy if you were in that squad? Andre Onana arriving late and now he's going to swan in and start this game against Senegal. Would you be happy with that?
I guess so. If he's the best goalkeeper, I want the best goalkeeper in between the sticks to give us the best chance of winning the game. Simple as that. So I'll keep it short and sweet. If he's the best goalie available, I need him in the net. Simple as that.
Gabby, short and sweet, do you agree? I would like him just walking in.
The total opposite. I mean, we built some unity in the training camp, and for me, you have to respect the country, and for me, he's lacking a lot of respect, so you have to make an example out of him, so I'd keep him out personally.
Guys, thank you very much. And give me some credit, Gabby, for once getting a prediction correct. But yeah, I will remind everyone, South Africa are my dark horse, and Egypt, who haven't won yet, are my tip to win the whole tournament. So I am still struggling. Kwesi, Gabby, thank you so much for joining
me.
Speak soon. For more African football, search for the BBC Match of the Day Africa Top 10 on the BBC World Service website. Join us again next time.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.